Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and every week I am honored to share the microphone with really interesting people. These are people who are entrepreneurs. They may be authors and speakers. They may be web developers. They could be just about anybody, but these are people who have wonderful stories to share and who are excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice with the audience. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I welcome transformational business strategist Blaise Lazzaroni. Blaise is, as I said, a transformational business strategist. She is the CEO and founder of Blaise A Brilliant Path, and she is a best-selling author and speaker. For 20 years, she held high-level positions in Fortune 500 companies, including Macy's. Macy's is pretty much out of business now, aren't they? Today, she works with conscious women entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, and healers who are frustrated by how to become profitable and successful. She basically helps them take it from a hobby to an actual profitable business. And she helps them create a strategic and custom-fit business so they can make the money they want and need, but still live a soul-based life that lights them up. Today, specifically, we are going to be talking about your list, marketing. Having an email list is, there are so many different rumors, advice, I don't even know where to start with this, swirling around out there. You don't need a list, you do need a list. The list, you know, it matters how big it is. Frankly, we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about list shaming. We have a ton of stuff to go through, so join us in the chat room and ask questions, if you will. Blaise, good morning, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio.
So glad to be here. Thank you so much for hosting me and talking about this provocative, controversial, sometimes let's kick it under the rug topic. So thanks for being willing to bring it out in the open. That's what life's all about as entrepreneurs,
right.
I believe.
I do, too. I think I was born that way. I had my little lemonade stand before I was 5 years old. It was just always, I mean, I was actually in the garage opening boxes and trying to sell stuff to the neighbors before garage sales were even popular. My mom caught me. So she said, you know, honey, I don't think you should be doing that. But why? It's in a box. So, you know, we either have it or we don't. But it's something that we can learn. I mean, entrepreneurship doesn't have to be kind of, you know, you're born to it, you can certainly learn it. And I'm finding, are you finding this, that more and more people are coming on board with, you know, going down their own path?
Yes, absolutely. More and more people, especially more and more women. And primarily, I work with women, although my history, having worked in corporate for so many years, in the retail environment, what's very fascinating about that environment is in the junior executive ranks and even in the sales associate ranks, many of the people are women. And as you progress up the ranks, there's very few women in senior level positions like I was in my career. And it's really interesting to live in a male-dominated world and really be successful in that particular role. So I do find, like you said, more and more people are being called to entrepreneurship because we're in a totally different economy. And we were just talking about springtime before this call started.
In the green room, we were.
In the green room. And yeah, we were talking about this energy of spring. And for many of us, we're just starting to feel it. It's really palpable energy in that, you know, we're getting ready. We're really excited. And it happens every year, just like clockwork, late February, early March, it starts coming on. The weather changes. We feel this quickening in ourselves. And what's so fascinating is this is the time of year then I can start noticing that all of these ideas about lift shame are cropping up again. It's so funny. You can almost set your watch to it. Yes.
I would not have noticed that, but now that you've said that, I'm going to be watching every year.
Well, see, this is one of the things that I'm really, really good at. You know, this is one of my, you know, even unknown to me superpowers. If you were to look at, you know, if you looked at the Strengths Finder 2.0, one of the things of who I am, I really value learning first and foremost. I am looking for lessons. I love to learn. In fact, I actually have to limit myself, if that's it's funny, even when I say that out loud, I really have to limit sometimes the amount of time I do research or actually go out there and learning. And the second thing that's really important to me is strategy. And so I've been able, one of the things I'm really, really good at is noticing trends that go on in the business world. And I've been doing it for years. So again, it's one of those things I just notice. Oh, it's March. Typically what happens is in January, you see the coaches that are health and wellness coaches, they get a big bump, right? Because everyone has their New Year's resolutions.
Right.
Many people who are business coaches, there's a little bit, sometimes there's a quick jump in early January. Other times it's a little bit of a lag where it doesn't start until February because people are still in this, I'll just say recovery period from the holidays. And they're also in this period of refining their vision. A lot of times what people who are in these businesses as coaches, consultants, and healers, conscious women entrepreneurs who I work with, are refining their vision still in February, and then in March they're ready to hit the ground running. So that's why you see it.
You just described what's going on with me. I don't make New Year's resolutions. I know better. I mean, I seriously know better. But to me, it's a time of kind of taking stock of what happened in the prior year. You know, it's just a good break-off point. It's not like you woke up and fell off the precipice and it's a brand new year and you have to start over. But it's just that kind of mental area where we go, okay, I'm stepping through this gate. That was last year. This is, you know, the new year. And, you know, all of January, I'm basically just kind of looking at what happened last year, what worked, what didn't. You know, what did I get done? What didn't I get done? And, you know, like you say, about now, I'm ready to rock and roll it. But it took this long. And I used to feel bad about that. But then I realized it was just a regular season in my life.
And that's what's so important to really notice. What I do when I work with my clients, I primarily work one-on-one. And why I do that is because I believe in custom fit businesses. Now, I've done group programs, and I know I'll do group programs in the past. And right now, that's where the energy is for me. And why that's so important, it's really looking at each individual person and crafting your business, your entire business, your business plan, your business vision, everything around who you are. And when you know that about yourself, like you just explained, then you won't be, you will be less
flailing around.
Yeah, right. Less susceptible to some of the other pressures that might go on because you know who you are. You are blazing your own path. And that's part of the reason the name of my company is the name that it is. It's really understanding at a deep level who you are because most of the people I work with are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs. There are some that are further along the business path. And in the beginning stages, though, our businesses are a true reflection of us, all the way down to our values, primarily our values. So when we know these things about us, we can really, like, know that, you know, March is the time to dial it up. That's what
I'm at. And I have found, yeah, it is. And I have found that is happening with me, and it happens every year. And I kind of, you know, would kick myself, like, oh, really, Denise? I mean, you know, January, February, and here it is March, and you're just now coming up to speed. And I would beat myself up. Finally, I realized, like I said earlier, it's just my natural rhythm. And I'm really glad to hear that I'm not alone in that it's the seasons, I guess, and that does make sense. Like I was telling you, when I went out this morning, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous spring day here in the Deep South, and you know, we don't get really fabulous weather very often. We had about 5.5 days of winter, you know, just enough to kill off the plants in my hanging basket. Not enough to kill off the weeds, God darn it. And, you know, I went out this morning, I went barreling out the door this morning. Oh, gosh, you know, it's so beautiful. The air is crisp and it's cool. And I started digging up weeds. I didn't even go get my gardening tools or my gloves. I just started pulling up weeds. And they smelled so good because they're so fresh. And I know that sounds odd, but they just smelled earthy and fresh and green. Look, I'm not I don't eat breakfast. It's just not a meal that I have to have. I came into the house, washed my hands, and made a big old salad. I'm surprised I didn't eat the darn weeds. You know, they just smelled so good. And I wasn't really hungry, but I just felt the need to get some greens into my system. Mm. And it's all part and parcel of what you're talking about. It's almost like this season of renewal. And I'm very much feeling it, so I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and what we tend, many times we ignore that season of deep reflection. And when we actually slow down, for many people who are impacted by the seasons, I live in California now, so I'm less impacted, and yet I still feel it. Those times when it's cooler, you know, for us in the Northern Hemisphere in November, December, January, even February, it's a time to slow down and really reflect. And we've lost some of that in our busy day-to-day culture.
That is true. That is absolutely true. So what are we, well, before we go on too much further, tell people a bit about yourself, because you have a truly fascinating story. You know, you have a journey that got you to where you are now, and I would love for you to share that.
Sure. I started my career in retail, and basically my major in college was fashion merchandising. So it was a blend of business and a blend of home economics, believe it or not. I am a graduate of college in the 80s, so I donned my shoulder pads, as any true woman in the 80s did, and I was really trying to
make...
And the big hair. And the total big hair, and the hairspray, and the pantyhose. And really went out there in the world to conquer.
I'm having PTSD right now, sorry.
Yeah, so one of my friends recently on Facebook posted a picture of a still from the movie Working Girl, and it just triggered so much for me. My gosh, that was me.
We thought we were so cute.
We did. We thought we were so cute. And we were, because here we were. I feel incredibly privileged for the fact that my mother and my grandmother, they were blazing a trail ahead of me even of what it was to shift and change in women's roles. So I went out and joined the retail world. And it's pretty funny that I ended up in retail because that's not who I am as a person. I love nail polish. I got to be honest about that. I love nail polish. And yet the rest of it I really didn't relate to. I first started out in chemical engineering, and that wasn't a good fit either. And what, you know, so we all find our way and we eventually land where we know we need to land, which is in this incredible world of business. And truth be told, I didn't have a lemonade stand as a little girl. I actually forced my sister to play bank with me all the time. And we would ride our bikes up to the window at our house, and we would act like we were tellers and deposits and all kinds of good stuff. And so my career was essentially in retail. I started as a manager, executive trainee, and continued up the ladder, became a manager, was an associate buyer for a while. That was actually my dream job that I really had goaled myself to get by the time I was 25, and I didn't earn it until I was 26. Quite a humbling experience. And once I got it, I realized I really didn't like it because it didn't have enough interaction with people. I was sitting in an office under fluorescent lights, in a space that just really didn't align with me. I wanted to be out and meeting people again. So I went back out onto the floor as a manager again. And then my husband and I moved from Florida to California, where I went to Macy's. And what was really incredible is because I had this huge history with other companies in Florida, it was just a really easy fit for me. And I skyrocketed through the ranks and was a senior executive really very quickly, and was managing 42 stores in Northern California, Nevada, and Minnesota, and managing $2.5 billion, that's billion, dollars worth of sales in those locations. And I love my job. I was one of those people that really, corporate fit me because I said, like I said, I'm a learner. I love strategy. The challenge was the individualization, which is the next thing that's really important for me in StrengthsFinder 2.0. The challenge was individualization. So I found ways to create that in my life. And it's like those things that you realize you're always trying to take a stand for it, even though you don't know you are. That's where you start getting really curious. That's when I started getting curious. And then what happened in 2003, as I say, out of the clear blue sky, I was diagnosed with cancer, thyroid cancer. And thyroid cancer is really interesting because it's, you know, at your throat. So I'm also, what I did is I deep dove into my spiritual practices. And what I realized was there was probably some truths. Not probably, there were some truths I wasn't speaking that I really needed to be speaking. The thyroid is also the burner for your body. It's also the thermostat. So my thermostat was on overdrive. I was actually burning up from the inside out. I was diagnosed with Graves' disease first and then cancer. And what happened during that time is I got really still and I got really quiet. And during that time, though, I was diagnosed with PTSD, anxiety, depression. It was a tough 6 years. It wasn't the girl, the woman, everything that I had worked for in my life. I was, by all intents and purposes, what the world would call a superstar. I had a big job, a lot of responsibility. I earned those shoulder pads. And to be sitting at home alone in my pajamas at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because that was all I could do, was pretty tough. I was my job title. I really did. So what happened was 6 years, it was a progression. It was a place of getting still, getting quiet, finding some personal growth opportunities, actually earning 2 coaching certificates because, again, I'm a learner and I wanted to learn something. I did volunteer work. I helped a friend start a nonprofit. It wasn't that I wasn't engaged in all of life for all of that time, and yet it was a much more quiet time. It was really coming into myself and getting clear on what I wanted and how I wanted to serve the world.
Was that the beginning of you not going back into corporate? I mean, did you ever go back into the corporate world?
I didn't. I actually called my boss from my oncologist's office and I said, I love you, and I do, and I still do. I stay in touch with him. And I just said, I really need to step back and take care of myself, because the truth was I was getting the whispers. You know how Oprah talks about the whispers that become the 2x4, that become the brick, that become the wall? I had to get to the wall in order for me to really slow down. My office was an hour and 20-minute commute on a good day in traffic from my home. So I was either going to my office or commuting to multiple of my 42 stores. I was running. I was literally burning myself up from the inside out. I was living a lifestyle that was going to kill me if I didn't slow down. And my body was on board. My body was like, okay, well, if she really wants to do this, let's do this. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was big.
I'm listening very intently because I just don't even know what to say. I mean, this is, in many ways, it's a terrible story. In other ways, I totally get it. I mean, I absolutely understand what you're saying about stopping and, you know, going to a quiet place and regrouping and healing yourself. But I'm a firm believer that we are what we think, we are what we eat. And, you know, if you are stressed all the time and you're thinking your brain is just shooting off fireworks all the time, it wears you out. It's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing, and yet the woman that I was, the woman that really wanted to earn her shoulder pads, her merit badge, so to speak, of being a workaholic, I did. And it was a compound event because I was just diagnosed with cancer. I basically walked away from this job because I needed to. And at the time, I was 38. So what had happened was there were parts of me that were interested in having children, and there were parts of me that really weren't. And what had happened was, at the same point in time, my husband and I decided that we weren't getting pregnant. I wasn't getting pregnant, so maybe we should start some more exploratory work. And basically what happened to me was they said, we need to give you radioactive iodine for your cancer, therefore you can't get pregnant. You're too close to 40. You're done. So it was really a triple whammy for me. No job, cancer, no thought of ever having a baby. So I needed to really get settled with all of that. It took some time.
It had to happen. How was your husband during all of this? I mean, he had to have been a huge support to you from the sounds of it.
He is, and we have actually been together. We just celebrated on February 26th of being together for 33 years. We started dating in high school, and we'll be married 28 years later this year. He was an incredible support, and it's actually, I think, harder for caregivers. Just really want to say that. I didn't understand that while I was going through it, because, again, you know, I was the patient, and yet the caregivers need so much because they're so helpless in the process in many ways. He was a big support for me, a total support. And yet, I really want to reframe this as I consider this cancer, this whole process, a gift. That's my lesson in this. And why is it a gift? Well, first of all, I realized that I wasn't going to die. I had stage 2 cancer. I didn't have stage 3 or 4. I had stage 2. Therefore, I had a chance to change my life, to really look at what I wanted and what I needed and how I wanted to give back to the world and look at all my skills and talents and create something that was a true reflection of me. So the gift was the time, the 6 years to slow down and to actually earn more, learn more about myself and what was going on. And so what was birthed from this was this way of giving back, which I call Blaze a Brilliant Path. And it's a business where I help women who primarily are nurturers and, you know, women who love to give in the world, and many women who are also soul seekers in the world, even people who are much like me in that they're leaders or they're experts in something. My way of giving back to them is helping them create a business that's a true reflection of them and that makes them money. And what I found is so many of these women have these incredible skills, but they don't know how to put them together in terms of having a profitable business. And they haven't had the experiences that I did. I had incredible mentors in my life that have taught me things. I've managed literally hundreds of thousands of people in my career over 20 years. I just have. And so I've had these incredible experiences, and I wanted to be able to help women know that a business, if they have a dream for a business, let's turn that dream into a real vision. Let's work it into something that's really a true reflection of you, and let's help you do it. Let's go do it. And like we started this session with today, this call, this is the prime time to do it in this economy
right.
that we're living in.
Oh, no kidding. I keep having this recurring thought that, you know, I don't watch TV anymore. I gave up cable. It just ticked me off. It really did. I mean, just paying for it, I don't watch enough TV to justify it, and the garbage that came across the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just garbage. Yeah. And I just said, no, I'm not going to let you in my living room anymore. And when I cut it off, I felt so much better. If I need to watch something, I pop in a DVD or go to Netflix, and I'd much rather read. But I have noticed, you know, I get my news online, and I'm very careful about where I get my news because garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
But I have noticed that there is this huge, kind of an almost not invisible but largely unheralded swing towards entrepreneurship. Nobody's really talking about it in the mainstream. You know, they want to talk about job numbers and, you know, this and that. Truly, this is the time when if you've got something in your heart and soul that you can share, this is the time to do it. There's no question about that.
Absolutely. This is the time. We have the technology. We can build them, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability
to connect.
In no time
at all.
In no time at all, we are, you know, it's real time in that we're communicating with people around the world, sharing our message, really, and there are so many messages, and yet what I find is, of course, there's always an underlying layer in exactly what you just expressed. I don't watch TV. I really limit my news intake. Many people say I'm highly sensitive, therefore it's not my thing, garbage in, garbage out. I really watch what comes in. Those are my clients. Those are the same messages they're saying. So how they find me is on social media, because social media they can monitor, and through word of mouth. And so as we talk about list shame, what's really important to notice and why this topic is so important is, you know, let's start first of all with a list. A list is simply your way of staying connected with people. And many of us have lists. And what tends to happen when somebody sees even the name of our show today, they'll put their hand up and say, I'm a member of the Itty Bitty List Club, right?
Right.
It's just,
I have clients that are that way. I mean,
yeah.
We talked about this the other day. One of the very first things that I have noticed when new clients or new potential clients come to me, because they're being told, they're being hammered, you've got to have
right.
a virtual assistant. Okay, great. That's a whole other subject.
Right.
You've got to have a list. And then immediately I can almost feel their energy drop. It's like, you know, I don't have a newsletter, and I signed up for AWeber or Constant
mm-hmm.
Contact. These days it seems to be MailChimp for some odd reason. But
mm-hmm.
I don't really do anything with it. And I can almost feel the despair coming off of them. And it's right there, I stop them and say, let's not worry about that. We're going to build your list. You're going to get your message out. What you have now is not what you need to worry about. What you're going to do with it is what you need to concern yourself with. Isn't that about right?
That's absolutely right. And where we're at is, and I had a conversation with a client yesterday about this. We were talking about the masculine and the feminine in this world. And again, to be really honest, I lived in a masculine world for a very long time. In order to be successful in the retail world that I worked in, I really had to embrace my masculinity and drive and push and nail and success and winning, and that was my mode. And during these 6 years, I really had to slow down and really embrace this feminine energy. It's a process for me. I'm being really transparent and saying it's still a process for me. And what I'm actually doing, though, is working on uniting those two worlds. So a lot of this list that we talk about, think, you know, if we want to talk about it in a masculine way, it's, you know, we hear it all the time. And I just gave some examples. It's really all about going out and getting. It's the hunter-gatherer. It's the conqueror. It's the sword. It's really, you know, cutting through the bush and getting what you want and killing that animal and bringing it home and providing sustenance for your family. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Not at all. We all need to eat, right?
Even weeds, and yes.
Even weeds. And
they
so,
smell so good. I didn't eat them. I ate a
right.
salad, but they did smell wonderful. The earth, the dirt felt, it just smelled so good.
And that is part of the process of getting and being driven and hunting and, you know, like the words that you see in society are things about getting more clients, nailing more clients.
Numbers. There's somebody numbers. In the chat room. James Archer just made an observation. He said the money is in the list, in quotations. It's about you, the list owner. Instead of thinking about the money, start thinking of how you can serve your list and the money will come as a byproduct of serving others, which is what we've been saying.
Exactly. So we think that, you know, if we what happens is, you know, take that mentality all the way out, we think that a bigger list is a better list. Well, a bigger list is a bigger list. Okay, let's just start there. A bigger list is a bigger list. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's converting for you. And what's important to understand is where your business is in a life cycle. And as I talked about early in the program, one of the things that I'm really good at is looking at trends. And after I left retail, what I found is entrepreneurs are going through similar life cycles that I did and the retail world is. And every one of us is going through this life cycle. It looks like birth and death. And you know, it starts with dreaming a big dream and first footing. That's where we start as business owners. And it gets bigger with, you know, the next level of the system, which is building out the vision and gaining financial stability. So what happens is many times, many people who are giving those messages to the world that you need a bigger list are actually further along in the life cycle, and they're, I'll use the word preaching, sharing, offering that, although it comes across more as a mandate or a dictate, authoritarian way of doing things that you must need it. Well, it's because that's where they are in their business growth. Do you need a list? Well, some people don't have them at all. Mm. They have this incredible network of friends, and really, as the person in the chat room just so eloquently described, it's not about the numbers. It's about the relationships.
And that's so important, because I know some years ago, and it's been a number of years, I wouldn't even hazard a guess, but there were the big marketers out there, and a lot of them are gone now. They just kind of slid off of the landscape. I don't know where they went, but they were big names. I mean, they were well-recognized names a few years ago. And without any question at all, they were all saying, you've got to have these big numbers, because they were looking at it, from my perspective, as far as I could tell, as a mathematical equation. And that felt wrong to me.
Well, in that phase of the business, it's the only way that they can continue to grow their company in that way. So, for example, I'll give an example from, you know, a retail from retail. I'll start there. So as you continue to grow a business, you start with one store, and maybe then you go to three stores and then six stores, and then you have a number of stores, and then you have multiple regions. And what happens, you can't buy enough stores to get enough of bump in visibility and in revenue, okay, more numbers, more cash in the drawer, more stock. You can't by just continuing that model. So what you need to do is you need to buy other things that are like you. So you buy other department stores. And it's just a more leveraged system. So if you have a bigger list, and let's say many people have big lists and they don't convert for them. They have a different way of marketing that. Maybe they do a lot of JVs with people. They have a different mentality, and you need to have a different mentality when your business is further along in the life cycle in order to continue to make the sales that you want and have the visibility that you want. So, for example, I'll give another example. What happens is we actually get conditioned. We don't even think about now the fact that the brand Kleenex. We say Kleenex when we're thinking about facial tissues.
Right. And it could be any brand. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just how we identify that product.
Right. And that is a mature product. They're further along in their life cycle of business. Therefore, we as consumers have like totally changed our mentality, and we've bought into the fact that, oh, a Kleenex is really a facial tissue. So it's a different mentality. So I'll come back to when you have list shame, what I say to you, shame is all about guilt or regret or sadness or embarrassment that you've done something wrong. That's really the heart and soul if you're following Brené Brown's work on shame and vulnerability, which is groundbreaking and I do think is actually more of the feminine coming through in our world, and at least here in the United States, it's opening up a conversation about a different way to do it. You know, what's been in the past is that the feminine, quote-unquote, business model from in many times looked like attraction, okay? So we used sexuality, beauty, makeup, nail polish, curves to attract men and even other women. We were using those same types of tools. So many times you'll hear client attraction is another way to, I'll use the masculine word, get clients. Okay,
right.
Attraction, sometimes it sounds like we're sitting and we're meditating quietly and we let them come to us because we're divine or we're wearing the right clothes or whatever. And what I want to say to that is that the shame comes in. The shame really comes in when we think we need to be somewhere in our business that we're not yet.
It does. It happens to me. I've been doing this for years, and I still beat myself up. And that's why I'm so happy that I finally determined that it. You know, I have seasons like anything else. You know, I've got these seasons where, you know, I'm a seed, I'm sprouting, I'm doing great. And then I've got another season where there's so many weeds, I better whack them down and start over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just came out of that one, so we're good. But you're right, and it's, you know, it's just time to be very, very conscious of what it is that we are, who we are, what we have to offer. And to go back to something that you said a bit earlier about, you know, the first stage is where you kind of dream it, and mm-hmm. I may be paraphrasing here, but I know when website clients come to me and they want me to build a website or a funnel, and this takes them aback a bit, and I want to know if this happens to you, because I'll say, look, you know, I understand the technical part. I understand where we want to go with this, but you're stumbling here with your vision. What I want you to do is take a step back and walk through your own front door. I want you to dream it. I want you to take the path that your consumer, your audience, your guest is going to take. When they come through that door, is everything there that they need? Do they need fresh towels over here? Do they need a bench over here? You know, dream it, walk it, breathe it, live it, and then put it on paper. Does that make sense to you? Because once I have them do that, they're like, oh, I get it now. It takes a while. But, you know, once they divorce themselves from the technical aspects, which we will do, and just come into focus with what they're really offering, It makes it easier, I find.
You have to dream it. You have to play spaghetti and throw spaghetti up against the wall.
Right, and the ceiling. See if it rains back down on you.
You have to experiment your like crazy to really see what lights you up. Because many times we say things light us up, okay, which means that we're plugging into our core, the core of our being, the passion of who we are, our real heart and soul. That's what I'm helping people do, plug into that. In that beginning stage, you have to have a dream, not even a vision yet, okay, just a simple dream. Keep it really simple. a one-page website, a three-page website. It will evolve like you will. Watch the dream come into a real vision. And what I find, the magic sauce, and I found this in my retail career as well, is it about the 18 months to the two-year mark. And it's because what's happened is we've anniversaried ourselves in what we're doing as an entrepreneur. We're making some money, or we're not making the money that we, even if we're not making the money we want to, we're still making some kind of money. So we can kind of feel like this is possible.
Like, it's not just a hobby anymore.
Right. It's not just a hobby anymore. We've really looked, you know, we've had this beginner's mind, and what we're ready to do is we're really starting to put some ideas in place of what our process really is and what systems and procedures and how we need to build out our business, our brand, everything. And the vision starts coming together. And it's because we've anniversaried ourselves, and it's because we're really ready. We're in that springtime of who we are as a business owner.
And that leads us into communication. I mean, once you've built the wall, so to speak, you've got your storefront or your website or whatever it's going to be, then you need to communicate with people, and that leads us back to your list. So what do you suggest people do? I mean, do you have any kind of tips and advice where people should start building their list? Should they start with MailChimp? Should they, you know, what do they do? Because it's a sticky thing for a lot of people. Like, oh, I know I need it, but I don't know where to start. So I would love your advice on that.
So I encourage everyone to start where they are. Start with who you are. Most people have a contact list. Okay? Many people start word of mouth. Absolutely word of mouth. Friends, friends of friends. And keep having those word of mouth conversations when you're ready. And I believe many people know when they're reaching a tipping point, then it's time to go out and investigate. And you don't need the fancy bells and whistles with
Infusionsoft. No, you don't.
And you don't have the cash flow, or you invest a lot of money, and that's really not where it is. What it is remembering that it's all about relationships, not about the numbers. So how can you have the intimate relationship that you want? And because many times our ideal clients are a mirror of who we are. We have similarities, not totally, of course, because if they had those skills and talents to build their own website, they wouldn't need you. And yet, you have similarities, values, most often, that you hold dear. So start with that. Start with some really free examples that are out there. And there are many. There are many out there. MailChimp, Constant Contact, Mad Meanie. There's so many things. Find something that works so that you're also following laws about not spamming people with email and that sort of thing. Do
double opt-in is always the best.
Exactly. Start there and start having a conversation that's in alignment with you. Ask for feedback. Ask people what they want. Ask. And I find that this is a really big challenge, especially for women who have been, who have embraced the paradigm of attraction. So because attraction means we sit quietly and we wait. Well, so many times we forget
to ask.
That's
something that I do well. Yeah, that I do well.
So it's all about asking, and I know you and I have a mutual friend in common, Meredith Bell. And Meredith actually recommended a book to me that I just love by Steve Chandler. It's called The Prosperous Coach. And there was something in that book that just brought it down for me. It was just a few words. And it was all about the getting of clients, the attracting of clients. And to Steve's point, it's really about merging the two of them. And his word for merging the two of them, call it the masculine, the feminine, the getting and the attracting, is creating.
You know, she had recommended that book to me, and I don't have it yet, but she did send me as a gift a book by Steve Chandler called Crazy Good. I cannot wait to dive into this weekend. It's on my stack. And I read several books every weekend. Well, I read all the time, but the weekend is my reading time, and I may read 3 or 4, sometimes 6 books. So this is on the top of the pile.
They're short chapters. They're easy to read. They're full of information, though. If you really want to slow it down, you can. Or you can just read through it. And when I read through it, those few words just jumped off the page for me. And it really is about creation. And that creation, creating. And creating really is about it's nurturing the relationship. It's knowing these people. You know, I have a big list on social media. I do. And yet, I can tell you for me, it feels not in alignment some days because it's numbers. I want to know more of these people. I want to know who they are so that I can, you know, help them in referrals to other people. This is one of the things that totally and completely lights me up. And we talk about being of service a lot. I do. Being of service, and I want to clarify the difference. Being of service is, I actually see it as a seva, okay? And that word means to give with nothing, with the expectation of nothing coming back to you. And one of the greatest joys for me is to connect people. It is my seva in this world. I have done it for a very long time. It lights me up. I love doing this work. I love being strategic and helping people create their businesses and help them with positive mindsets and helping them with a greater flow of money. And this is the cherry on top for me. And why I say seva versus service is a lot of people get confused and they say, I want to be a service, and yet their business is their service. This is a big
difference. Well, that makes
difference. Sense. Yeah. So my business, the service that I provide is helping you create a business. My seva, that level of service that's over and above, is connecting people. So that's why, for me, it's so rich and yummy and juicy to know more about people, who they really are. So I'm always going through this data bank that I have in my head and also on my computer of, how can I connect these people? They need to know one another, just like Meredith did for you and I, connected us. That's the type of seva, service, connecting that's amazing to me. And that's where I believe the list goes out the window.
Okay, explain that. I think I get where you're going with this, but I can almost see eyebrows raising. So,
so
go.
Where the list goes out the window is because what we thought we were doing was building a list. Okay? There's a different energy in building a list than, I really want to get to know Denise. Denise is cool. Denise ate her yard for breakfast.
Oh, God,
Denise,
anybody coming in just now just went, okay, I'm done. I'm not listening
Denise,
to that crazy woman.
Yeah, Denise really believes in this holistic living. Denise really screams out what she comes in because she so believes that in order to be in this world, and I use the word be a lot. It's not about doing, it's about being. That's the transformational part of me that comes through the spiritual side, the more woo side, that transformational part of who you're being in the world. You're being this woman who wants to live in wholeness, who wants to live this generous, rich life. The list goes out the window, because what it is you're connecting to other people who share those values. People want to do business with people who have
similar
values.
They know, like, or trust. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. In fact, in my, you know, my intro, that phrase, know, like, and trust, comes from another friend of mine who I have also introduced to Meredith Powell, and that's Meredith Elliott Powell. And she wrote one of my very favorite business books called Winning in the Trust and Value Economy. And truly, these days, I mean, your list, and there is a correlation here, because if you're sending out pablum to your list just because you feel like you were on a schedule, you have to get something out, and you're just kind of flinging it together, and you're not really considering what your audience is asking for or what you're pretty sure they need, or you have asked for what they need, your list is going to shrink, and you're no longer connecting. You're no longer actually networking. Don't you find that to be true?
Absolutely. And it takes time to find your personal sweet spot.
It does.
And
I've been struggling with it myself.
It takes time. And many of the people that I work with, and I tend, I work with people at that magic 18-month to 2-year mark and up. And a lot of the people I work with tend to be people that have been in business 10 or 20 years, and they want to redefine, because what's happened is they've gone up that life cycle system, okay, and their business has grown so much. And what's happened is they've actually come out of their business. It's no longer a true reflection of them, and they want to bring it back around because they've bought into the leverage model, and it's good. It brings you money. They found that, and what they, you know, because business, I believe business is a spiritual journey. I'm going to say it. That's the truth. Being in business is a part of a journey that we're all on, blazing a brilliant path.
And this is why I get so fed up with people who say, oh, corporations are evil. Do you know who makes up corporations? Just walk into one and see who's manning the desk. Just take the time. Now I'm getting mad. Stupidity bothers me. It really does. But, you know, we are all people, and we are all on a path, and we should take the time to reflect and say, is this where I want to go? And if people are following me or coming to me for advice, am I leading them down the right path? So, you know, these are questions you should ask yourself every day when you're contacting people, when you're networking, when you're on Facebook, when you're sending out your newsletter. Are you being true to yourself, and are you being true to them? It's not just throw stuff out in a newsletter and go, here you go, I hope it works out for you. And
right.
I see
it's
that a lot, and it bothers me.
Exactly. It's coming back to our basic values, and the values that my business is based on is, first of all, integrity. And boy, I love the quote of making 10,000 mistakes before breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all make mistakes, and yet we're in integrity with ourselves. And when we're not, we get the signs. And I'll go back to my story. I wasn't in full integrity when I was in corporate America. I wasn't. Hence, a cancer life for a while. Not now, knocking on wood. And yet I was out of integrity of who I was as a being. My voice, the truth of what I really wanted to say, was stifled. I was busy towing a line. So this is provocative, this is controversial, people don't agree with me. Okay, fine, I don't need to be nice all the time, and I hate the word nice. Nice is not a word. Nice is really not a word. When we need to have these conversations so that we can all share what we truly believe. So we come back to our values: integrity, transparency, authenticity, openness. I really believe in those things. Those are part of my business every single day. And to your point, everyone needs to know what their values are in their business. And the women primarily that I work with that have, you know, built these big businesses and they come back, it's they want to put themselves back in. And not everybody does. Some people want to have a leveraged business. I've lived that life. I just really want to say I've lived that life. I had the great office overlooking Market Street in San Francisco. I grew up on a farm in Ohio. Who knew that that girl who raised hogs when she was 11 years old would one day have this big fancy job title in San Francisco? Not me. And yet when I had it, if I'm really true to myself, really truthful, it wasn't who I am.
But it served you at the time until it didn't.
It did. And I needed that experience. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I say this is a journey. We're all learning. We're all learning on this. And so
absolutely.
The list shame.
Every day.
Every day. So the list shame lots of times just comes because we're you know, it's the FOMO. It's the fear of missing out. We think we need to be somewhere else. And when we get really centered with where we're at right now, oh my gosh, it's wonderful. We get to
and
realize.
And truly, Blaze, people will find you. I mean,
they will.
And you said it very eloquently, you know, with social networking, with referrals, I don't know about you. I suspect that you're like me, that your business is probably 100% referral-based at this point. I have been for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, when there's so many ways to reach out and connect with other people, to make friends all over the world that you may not necessarily meet in your local Walmart, I mean, life is different now than it was even 10 years ago. And we can do remarkable things with our computers, with our voice, with video, with podcasts. We can reach a lot of people and they can reach us. It's an amazing time to be an entrepreneur.
It truly is.
Because
we can be visible.
Sorry.
We can get our message out. We can share what we need to share.
We can't. Look, I live in a small village in southwest Louisiana. I can see sugarcane fields from my front windows.
Mm.
I like it that way. They're knocking the fields down. They're building houses. I don't like that. I get it, but I don't like it. But I get to meet people like you, like Meredith Bell, like Larry Wingate. You know, I get to interview people and really go on to form good relationships with people from my home office. You couldn't do that 10 years ago. You just could
not. Absolutely not.
And I mean, having a list is a wonderful thing if you're ready for it. And I think that's what you're saying, and that's at least my takeaway. If you're ready for it and you feel authentic about it, do it. If you're not ready for it, shelve it and don't feel the guilt. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. And never keep your gifts to yourself. You know, share them however you share them. So share them in your local community. Share them. The world needs your gifts. And to your point, let it go. Let it go and focus on what you need doing. And the list will build itself.
True. And eventually does. Listen, there's one last comment in the chat room that I want to share before we lose the... We're going to stop streaming in a bit, but we'll still be recording. And Della Berkovich says, thank you for the opportunity to listen to this podcast. So many great points. Love the reiteration of having integrity and values. And then James Artry says, you can always tell the great ones by the words that come out of their mouths, integrity and values being two of the most common. You are making some friends in here.
Well, we speak a similar language. So our souls are lighting up because we're speaking a similar language.
Well, I agree. Well, Blaze, we have 60 seconds before we lose the recording. Where can people find you on the internet?
www.blazeabrilliantpath.com. And typically, if you type in the word Blaze, B-L-A-Z-E, you will find me everywhere on social media.
I know. I did a quick search for you because I wanted, yeah, I'm like you, I want to research before I get on the interview. And look, I couldn't throw a stick on the internet without hitting you. Good job. I mean, you're everywhere.
Thank you.
Well, listen, everybody, Blaze, thank you so much for being with me here today. It's been wonderful chatting with you, and I know our audience enjoyed the takeaways and the examples and really the wisdom that you shared as much as I did. And everybody who is listening in, the show will be available for download in about 30 minutes to 60 minutes. And you can also find us on iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Blaze. Okay, I know how to say this, Blaze. Lazzaroni.
Like lasagna macaroni.
Right, and I think this was, is it Laz or is it Lays? I had to stop and think. But anyway, just type in our names, and I will see everybody next week. Blaze, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeonthewebcom or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.